Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Local fire department.
This morning at approximately 0930 hours, our resources located debris from the missing aircraft in a remote area of Koke'e. At this time, we have no actionable information on the status of the passengers.
The Coast Guard was alerted to the missing copter some 40 minutes after it was supposed to return yesterday. Snow and wet weather from the West Coast is all coming to the plains and Midwest. Meteorologist Jeff Birardelli says it'll be wet across much of the country through the weekend and into next week.
It's going to be a headache for travelers across the country. Snow from Denver into the upper part of the Plain States. Everyone else is rain, including Minneapolis, Chicago, Indianapolis, Sunday. Eventually, that will move into New York and Boston.
Correspondent Jim Axelrod reports about a spike in flu cases around the country.
The CDC reports that Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, New York City, and 25 states now have high flu activity. Flu cases have jumped by more than a million in just 1 week to an estimated 4.5 million cases. 39,000 people have been admitted to hospitals nationwide. More than 2,000 people have now died from the flu.
U.S. officials say an American defense contractor was killed and several U.S. and Iraqi troops have been wounded in a rocket attack in northern Iraq. Officials say the attack involved as many as 30 rockets fired at the Iraqi military compound near Kirkuk, where U.S. service members are also based. Officials have not provided the exact number of troops wounded in the attack. And this just in, a shooting inside a suburban Denver mall has left one person dead. Police are looking for a suspect. This is CBS News.
Did you know you can listen to CBS News Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on radio.com or the radio.com app?
From the downtown Minneapolis studios of News Talk 830 WCCO.
This is Minnesota's most trusted station for news.
The more than 200 victims of the Drake fire in Minneapolis Christmas morning are moving to another temporary shelter. They'll be going from the Bethlehem Baptist Church to First Covenant Church in Minneapolis. Officials there say they are ready to house people for at least 2 weeks. More than two dozen families will be housed in a Bloomington hotel where there will be showers and kitchens. The goal of the Minneapolis Foundation, which is overseeing the charitable distribution, is to set the victims up with long-term affordable housing. St. Paul police have arrested a man in connection with a fatal shooting near downtown and a related assault. The 28-year-old man is at the Ramsey County Jail on suspicion of murder. He was arrested on foot after crashing into a fence at the Oakland Cemetery. The shooting happened in the 200 block of State Street around 5:30 Thursday evening. The victim died at Regents Hospital. Shortly after, officers found a woman they believe could have been pushed from the van. She remains hospitalized. A man allegedly driving up to 140 miles per hour north of the Twin Cities with a large amount of meth in the car is in custody. The Chisago County Sheriff's Office says it started before 11 last night. Troopers were not able to intercept the car on I-35 at Highway 95, but did keep up. In Rush City, where the car got off, deputies planned to box it in, but the driver turned off the headlights. Deputies then forced the car into a ditch where the driver was arrested. Now for a check of your weather, Saturday, freezing rain, sleet, and rain for much of the day. Some thunder also possible, a high above freezing, 34 degrees. Saturday night, rain and possibly a thunderstorm, won't be dropping much lower than 34. Then on Sunday, rain mainly before noon, a steady temperature around 38. That's the latest from the WCCO Newsroom. I'm Sloan Martin, News Talk 830 WCCO.
Invasive options for pain relief or simply achieving better health? Advanced Spine and Pain Clinics of Minnesota offers leading-edge functional medicine therapies to manage pain and restore your natural balance and health. For joint pain relief, younger-looking skin, or fuller-looking hair, consider the benefits of platelet-rich plasma therapy. And for certain types of pain relief, as well as emotional health, ketamine therapy may be right for you. And if your goals involve greater athletic performance or more holistic wellness as you age, IV infusion therapy and peptide therapy may provide just the wellness boosts you're looking for. To find out which therapies are right for you, ask the experts at Advanced Spine and Pain Clinics of Minnesota. Their double board certified physicians will create a personalized treatment plan to meet your unique health goals. So make an appointment today. To schedule, visit tckeepactive.com or call 612-20-SPINE. That's 612-20-SPINE.
Broadcasting around the globe on your smart speaker
and the radio.com app.
8:06, the time, sports to the max, the program, News Talk 830 WCCO, the 50,000 watt giant, the station that you're listening to right now. Whether you're picking us up in Utah and are getting ready to listen to the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, or you're in Banff, Canada, and you're just enjoying the pristine and colorful and holiday-like surroundings that you have, and the bears are hibernating now, so you're good. We appreciate you listening to us, and we do reach long and far with that 50,000-watt signal. Joining us right now, Steve Brown, downtown Steve Brown. I call him back in South Dakota. I mean, once he crossed half court, it was fair to believe he, and this is before the three-point line, he didn't care. He could, and he was going to knock it down. And so it changed the way teams could defend his high school team. He worked for the Minnesota Timberwolves for years, and now he just he took a guys that get bit by it, they think they hold the ball, and it turns out the ball holds them. He is now a high school basketball coach at Providence Academy, trying to rebuild that program to an extent, and he joins us now. Steve Brown, happy holidays.
It's always good to talk to Mike Max, and happy holidays to you as well.
Now, you are a realtor by day, and you have trained many, many and still train kids, but you did the Timberwolves camps for years and clinics. And did you enjoy that part of it? Because you were busy a lot teaching kids the fundamentals of basketball.
Yes, I was. Yeah, 10 years with the Timberwolves, director of the Basketball Academy and the Lynx. And as you know, we've talked many times, and you know, probably more five states and sometimes in Canada, you're doing camps, clinics, and then the training got involved. So sometimes it could be 365, 24/7. I still do it some on the side. There are a lot of people who still call and want training. But, you know, with the new position of being the head basketball coach at Providence Academy, my time is spent in at Providence Academy mostly.
Yeah, and let me go back to your training days. Who's the easiest kid to train? Is it the big guy, the point guard, the shooting guard? Who's the easiest one to maximize their potential?
Well, I guess it could be, and I don't want to say that, but it could be any of them. It depends on the ones that are easiest to train are all the ones that come in and are really willing to listen and learn and pay attention. It could be any of those guys. Mm-hmm. And once they do that, and again, I'm going men or women, because I do a lot of both, and when they want that, it really makes it easy to train kids. I shouldn't say train young basketball players, because when they want it and they really, that's a goal of them, they just want to get better, man, that just makes it so much easier, because you want to make sure every time you're in there you're giving them everything you got. And so of all ages, it's pretty good.
Is it hard to teach kids to shoot correctly, or is it like hitting in baseball? Do you find that it's not so much, you know, the definition of shooting correctly just varies in terms of what your comfort level is?
Shooting is very tough to hit. You hit right on the head. I've always said probably hitting a, you know, slider, a curveball, or a 90-mile-per-hour fastball is pretty tough to hit. But shooting a basketball, especially when you get them, Mike, when they haven't had the proper technique or the fundamentals probably aren't right. You know, it's an old habit to break. Boy, shooting, when you come into me like probably your sophomore, junior year, or beyond, tough to break.
Yeah.
Your habit, and tough break habits. And I'll be honest, not to share with the team I'm coaching now is, you know, today you know, last night we had a chance to beat our good Minneapolis Edison team. We're 8-for-17 in the free throw line. We're making progress. But shooting is one of the mechanics and the fundamentals that we're really working on, just to try to, you know, it starts with footwork, too. I know we've talked about this before. You know, if you don't have balance, you can't shoot a basketball. And I could go into shooting for a long time tonight. So it is shooting a basketball. And then, because it's confidence. And if you don't have confidence, the ball's not going to probably go in the hole.
Well, you know, and this isn't just at levels that you coach. I'm watching Sacramento last night, and yep. This, what's his name, Brandonovich, whatever it is, or something like yep. that. was 8 for 28 from the field. I don't know how they let him keep shooting. And then he missed two free throws in double overtime, or they could have won the game. You know, it would have pulled them close enough. Here's a guy that's all he does. That's why they brought him in. He is a shooter's shooter, and he was 8 for 28 last night. And you look at that heel for Sacramento coming into the game. He was something like. It was ungodly. It was like 3 for 29 on three pointers. You know, I mean, it was off the charts bad. Now these are guys that are great shooters, so that tells you how hard it is to be a great shooter.
It is. Shooting basketball is tough. It's funny you say that because I watched the NBA or I watched college. I've been doing all this for a long time, and you know, and you just wonder who's teaching these guys how to shoot a basketball. Why? I'm like, you know, I was at Tim Duncan. We all know who Tim Duncan was. I couldn't believe that a guy so talented and so skilled could score so much, but yet he'd go to the free throw line, one of the worst free throw shooters in the NBA. And mechanics, it was in between the ears, his hand. What goes on in somebody that happens? It just blows my mind. The Porsche, you know, Mike, there's not a lot of just pure great shooters anymore with all the driving the basket.
There's not. I mean, the Timberwolves are trying to play this, let's hurry up and shoot threes. Well, if your guys can't shoot threes, it really doesn't matter what tempo you play.
I'll probably get in trouble for that saying that. Everybody's listening to that. I figured that day one watching them going, okay, you can run the ball up and down the court, but if you're not going to shoot threes, nothing, not shooting threes very well, what it does, at least the transition basket's on the other end because all of a sudden it's long rebounds are getting out and the other team's going down. They got 3-on-2. They got advantage basketball on. And next thing you go, okay, that three didn't work. But boom, they're scoring at the other end. And so that's really a tricky thing, but you got to be able to shoot the basketball.
Well, you know, and you look at when you do see a real shooter, Jamal Crawford, who came through here a couple of years ago. I love watching Kyle Korver shoot. My God, that's fun, you know. Because you realize this is tens of thousands of shots, perfecting it in different situations, so that when you are off balance, you still got a chance. So that you're constantly getting the ball up in the air, and you know, as they say, the ball has eyes. So the higher you get it up, the easier it is for it to find the basket. All those things, but it's thousands and thousands and situations and being under distress to be a great shooter is just it takes an incredible amount of discipline.
Yeah, you know, I always wondered why. All my life growing up, you know, they always told I was too small to play, you know, 5'10". And you work on all the different – when I'm going at – I not only when I talk about shooting, I always talk about scoring. You know, you get if you're a great shooter, people are going to come out and they're going to guard you eventually. Well, now you got to learn how to go in. And I'll tell you, Mike, and you can – all the people, I hope there's a ton of listeners, somebody listens. They all – everybody's ever been with me. They know I teach floaters. They know I teach the Dirk Nowitzkis, who all my kids and all over the years will say, hey, you got to work on that Dirk drill today, you know, which now Kevin Durant's doing really well. And you got to work and work and work on this thing, and then hopefully you can trans over to the game. But you know, you got to have touch, and you got to be creative too to score. And shooting the basketball—that's what blows my mind again. Is if I was getting paid, just getting paid, all I did every day is I go to a weight work, I work out, I do training, and what do you do during the day except shoot a basketball? So then when you come out, I mean, you know, today I get these kids 2 hours. You know, five times a week, and you try to work on it. You try to tell them that, hey, we're going to spend as much time as we can shooting, but if you want, we'll show you how to do it. But, if you want to get good at it, there's all kinds of clubs, gyms. You got to go out on your own and shoot the basketball. So to see so many poor shooters today at the higher levels, that just blows my mind.
Yeah, and the truth is, by the time you get a high school team, you can work on the team, and you can try to teach them flow and teach them to understand each other and when to back cut and when to see, you know, read another guy's eyes. You don't have enough time during a season to develop a shooter. No way. That guy has to be, or girl has to be committed year-round, because the practices alone, you don't have time to become a good shooter just on practice time.
I would welcome you to come out. You could be my guest speaker at my shooter on tomorrow morning.
Well, you don't have enough time. It's too hard. You have to respect shooting more than that.
Yeah. And we talk about that. It's so funny you say that, because when you talk about rebuilding, I tell the kids, you know, I don't really use that word. It just tells them, you know, we've got a bunch of young, inexperienced kids. And so I'm going right to your point. And we get with them, and I go, and I said, okay, we got two seasons. We got the season that we're in right now, and it's going to be like, I'm going to call it the exhibition season. I'm not even going to mention the word winning to you. You know, I can show you all the plays and run that things we want to do, but if you guys don't get better individually, we can never get to where we want to go as a team. So from the shooting, from day one, from shooting to passing to catching to pivoting, Mike, which is a lost art today, all those kind of things. And I tell you, I might be the most the proudest 2-6 coach in the state of Minnesota and the nation today, because these kids have went from where they're at in 6 weeks, and I know where they're going to go eventually because they're starting to get confidence. Because, you know, they couldn't do this. How can you win a game if you can't go in and expect to shoot or make a basket or, you know, catch a pass or make the right pass and all those kind of things? And it's still difficult, still hard, but you got to work on it.
So what led you to this position? Because you could have just trained all offseason. What yep. led you back into, I want in on the games, and I want in on the building a team for a season?
Well, you know, I think anybody that really knows me here, get back, you talk about Timberwolves and Lynx. I first got here back in 82, 83 with Flip, when Flip brought me back with Judd Dutcher, and I was at South Coast State, and our relationship built through the years. And then coming back and all the coaching and all the, I've had really successful AAU boys basketball teams in the state. I think anybody that knows me and hears this conversation will know of that. And guys who are, did very well. And I've always had a passion to coach. And then there's the training that led me to this, because a guy by the name of Mike McCullough one night calls me. I'm doing some clinics with him. He said, I can use your help. And I went over. He says, hey, you get a minute to talk. So we talked, and he says, hey, there. He had some connections with some people that he owed Edina and da-da-da-da-da that were out at a Providence Academy. And he says, they're looking for a boys basketball coach at Providence Academy. And he says, they called me at it. And I said, well, he was very kind. I won't say what he all said. It was very nice. And I said, well, yeah, I'd like to talk to him. And I went out and talked to the athletic director, Darren Messmore, who is absolutely, like you, Maxie, one of the finest people a guy could ever get to know. He's awesome. I went out, met with him, sat down at a table. We're sitting in his office, and got done with the conversation. He looked at me, and he says, okay, let's go. And I said, that's it. I'm your coach. He says, you're the coach. And just to get involved in a program to somewhere, I'm having so much fun, because it's a, first of all, the school in itself is incredible. And you got to, like you talk about young kids, now they're starting to take training or the athletics to another level. They really want to get there. And to talk to me and have me come in to be part of it, to grow not only hopefully the boys' basketball program, but all the programs out there, just with who we know, talking to you and all the different people. The excitement, it puts a hop in your step, you know. And I come back home, I told my wife, Karen, I says, well, you know, Izzo's 65, Popovich is 70, Coach K is 70. Yeah. Keeps you young. And I'll tell you what, it has been just awesome. So it's put the hop back in the step. I love it. It's just every day I'm sitting in front of you right now as I'm waiting for your conversation to talk to you. I'm looking at some stuff, and it's been great.
What do you love about it?
Getting every day I get to see the kids. Every day I get up, and I'm going to go out to Providence Academy in the afternoon to practice. I love about the challenge of I'm going to try to make every one of these young men not only better basketball players, but hopefully enhancing life skills. The challenge, but it's an opportunity to help a bunch of young men, especially here, these young kids, they've never had, they're seeing a whole different level of basketball. And to teach them and help them not only come together and teammates and you know, trust your teammates, do things together in life, and hopefully achieve something that they never achieved before. Just to go in and help a kid change a shot, or, you know, you could say, why would you do something like that? And you go, well, I don't know, coach. Those, the learning, the teaching, is just, it's off the charts.
And what is Providence 9 through 12?
Yeah, well, it's pre-K through 12. Yep.
Depending on how much you want to participate in, but 9 through 12 is, I guess, when you'd get them,
yep.
Huh?
High school, yep. I get them 9
through
12.
And they could come from anywhere when they move into ninth grade, right? You don't know exactly
yes.
who's coming in,
yes,
assume,
yes,
right?
They can, you know, and it's been fun to be able to talk to many people about it. If you got time, I'll tell you the first thing I did when they offered me the job, and this is why you coach, and you know this better than anybody with all what you've done in your life. And first thing it is, I picked up the phone, I called two individuals. One was Darren Kent, and I'm not sure if you know who he is. Darren played at Eastview, and he was on the Eastview team when Hoffarber hit the shot to win it.
Sure.
He was a center. Then he played 4 years at Kansas State with Huggins and Frank Martin. Are you telling me, can you play for two more probably intense individuals than those guys? Well, I got hooked up with him through some Timberwolves connections. So Darren has been with me like on and off training, coaching some of my AAU teams. And I said, and I really love what he does. And he's 6'10", and he's a great teacher of the game. And he's got a job here, and he goes, I'm in. And he's volunteered, coming out as much as he can to help out. That's a great asset. Second call was made to Joey Wittes. And Joey played for me for 4 years, AAU, and played at Chanhassen High School. But Joey ended up winning the national championship, first-team All-American last year at Northwest Missouri State. on the Division II 38-0 national championship team. Joey, like Darren, got a job in town, says, Coach, I'm in. So to have those two guys to start with the other coaching staff, I mean, that just really, it just says a lot. It kind of sells me. It really helps me. And then those guys come in, they see them with along with my other coaching staff with Chris and Jake and Nick and Steve Molina. Jim Peterson calls me one night. I'm sitting in Wisconsin. He's got a guy from the Timberwolves and video coordinator. So our coaching staff, Mike, is off the charts. But that also is just a testament to what everybody wants to do to help all, not help these kids become better, but, you know, everything we can do to grow the program and build the program on a consistent basis at Providence Academy.
What's the most important thing you do in 2 hours in a practice?
Well, first of all, I hope I'm organized, but the most important thing every day is that we're all on the same page. And the first thing we do every day is we go through the basics, but we also, it's all about fundamentals first. I don't care what we have to do during the day. The first 30 minutes of spot every day is based on fundamentals. Passing, catching, probably the two most lost arts of fundamentals, you know, just being able to pass the ball and catch the ball. Why would you pass it there? You know, and that kind of stuff. But the pivoting, the dribbling, the shooting, all the ball handling, all that kind of stuff. But then we would do it as individuals and then we throw all that into team stuff. Because, you know, like you said, Mike, you can't get into the next step if you can't do the first things right. But mostly in number one is this, it's not even a basic fundamental, but it's trying to build confidence in each individual. If we can get each and every day and make that kid feel better about himself, and that isn't a hype thing, because in the day, some of the things that were said after the game, and we won a close game today, you know, we got a nice win.
Be Spectrum.
Yep, and last night we played late, and we played a great game against a Minneapolis Edison team that was averaging 85 a game. The game's tied at 49. And then the other thing I'll tell you that you might like to know, I've had to adapt to coaching them too, because I'm so strong, my principles on man-to-man and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Today, Mike, I threw 5 different defenses at Spectrum. How's that?
You threw a zone in there?
I've done things because, you know what? I got to understand, too, my kids, my athletes, they're young kids, but some of these bigger, stronger athletic teams we're playing,
yep,
sometimes you can't match up with them. So the other thing in that building their confidence, now I got to try to put them in winning positions and winning situations. And last night was such a great game. I felt so bad for the kids. You know, you ever had one of those games you really felt you probably should have, you know, God, you really thought you should win the game, and son of a gun, in the end, didn't get beat before with a couple mistakes at the end, but we shot 8 for 17 from the free throw line and missed a bunch of shots. But that, I told them, guys, is part of the process. It's going to get better. Today they got to come back in an early afternoon game with a very athletic Spectrum team. Got a lead, but hung on, and, you know, the good Lord, we finally got that one, winning by one. And down the end, you'd love this. One of the kids says to me, Coach, I'm sorry. And I says, you know, I'm not mad at you. He says, no, I know, Coach, had a mental lapse that almost cost us. But I said, that you learn that. And that's part of what we're always talking about. Next time we'll be better at it. Next time we're better at it. And then hopefully before long, you know, when it comes, I said, in the February, as you all know, there's 3 games we want to win in February, right? And I said, and you got to believe that way. And that's what we're trying to get them, that every day they're going to get better. Every week they're going to get better. And by the end of the season, they're going to be the best. We're going to play the best basketball we're going to play all year.
Last question, Coach. And you maybe you knew this, it wouldn't surprise you, but I am surprised forever as to how many good basketball players there are in Minnesota. And I'm not just talking about Division I and guys are going to get scholarships. Okay. But even right below that, some will never play college, but they're just good basketball players and they're athletic. And I watched the highlights of Edison last night, for example, who has not been a power. And they had some good athletes you were playing against. That one kid, I think, had, I don't know, 35 points or 23 points, something like that, you know?
Yep.
And you go, whoa, I mean, that's just one pocket. I mean, if I was an MIAC coach, there's a ton of people to go. Are you surprised in just how many, you know, I'm not talking about just great, but how many just good basketball players there are?
I don't know if surprised, but I'm excited about it because coaching these, you know, Concordia Academy, they got a heck of a player there. You know, I went out to Rockford, this small town, the other night. That's a team that we want to do things later. We played them a great game. That was only our 3rd game. We had 4 starters out the first 2 or 3 games. And, boy, I'll tell you what, they're probably as big as any team I've ever seen. But there are players, and that's what I'm preaching, you know, coming from a small town in South Dakota. You do not have to play Class 4A. Guess Class 4A.
No, you don't.
They get all the recognition because you're an EP Minnetonka thing. But there are so many good basketball players right now, even at the level I'm coaching at 2A that I've played against already. My God.
Oh, in Minneapolis North, Minneapolis Academy, De La Salle. You want to play those teams? Go have fun.
You if you want to come out, take a highlight, January 28th, we play Minnehaha Academy.
Yeah, they're going to play Bronny's team next week, and they've already got 8,500 tickets sold for Target Center.
Yeah, but no, I'm glad you brought up Edison. I was really, I try to scout the best I can, and I went, holy smokes. When they beat Milwaukee Vincent, who's usually, I don't know how they are this year, but they're usually in Wisconsin. They've been a pretty good powerhouse for high school teams. 93-92, and I'm going, Jesus, what are we going to do here?
Yeah.
That is when Coach Brown says, we got to make some decisions, do some different things. And I'm playing with kids so inexperienced of playing against all this kind of stuff. And a kid last night, probably if a lot of colleges would come and watch one of my players last night, Baden Ongari had 18 points and 13 rebounds, and he's played like an All-American. I said, you know, now you got something to live up to. But that is what is the challenge and the opportunity for all the kids I'm coaching, as well as all these other kids. That's what's so exciting, that, God, you know, if you can do it, we just got to do it on a regular basis. And so it's been fun.
Downtown Steve Brown, I appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
And I appreciate it. And on behalf of Providence Academy, I want to tell you, thank you. It's great to have us on, because it's been a lot of fun.
The Roaring Lions. We'll talk soon, Steve. Thank you
Thanks,
so much.
Mike. All right. Bye-bye.
I'll talk more, when we come back, I'll talk more about that. I am forever amazed in this day and age. Maybe it's the training, maybe it's the access too. But, and this is probably nationwide, but in Minnesota, when I watch the prep bowl, when I watch these high school tournaments at the holidays, there are so many good players and so many good athletes right now. It's, you know, you don't have to feel bad about not being a star or not being able good enough to play in college, because there aren't many that can. I'll expand on that when we come back.
Sports to the max. Do you know what the University of Minnesota does for you? From farms to breweries, orchards to markets, we're cultivating a new crop of businesses. From rivers to lakes, Minnetonka to Superior, we're protecting our most precious resource. And from hooves to hands and paws to beaks, we're making health advances for all Minnesotans. Discover what the U of M does for you at discover.umn.edu. University of Minnesota, driven to discover.
Are you worried about maintaining your lifestyle in retirement? Hi, I'm Bruce Helmer of the Your Money Radio Show, asking you to visit wealthenhancement.com, click on the microphone, and enter the keyword income for a free guidebook called Reality Check, Will Your Retirement Income Last? From Wealth Enhancement Group. That's wealthenhancement.com, keyword income. Advisory services offered through Wealth Enhancement Advisory Services. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and a separate entity.
Dreaming of becoming a professional race car driver? Speeding around empty parking lots is a start, but going pro takes time. So does quitting smoking. It's not about stopping in one day. It's about starting with day one. You just need to take that first step. Get started on your journey toward a smoke-free life with the American Cancer Society. We'll give you the support and resources you need to quit smoking. The finish line is closer than you think. Learn more at cancer.org/smokeout.
Message and data rates may apply. Please do not text and drive. See purple.com for terms and conditions.
Do you, or does someone you know, sweat the bed? Do you ever wake up feeling like you've been sleeping on a slip and slide? Sweating the bed is a serious but a common problem that affects your sleep, health, and happiness. Plus, it's just plain gross. But it's not you. It's your mattress. Fortunately, there is a cure. It's called Purple. Purple is the only mattress with a scientifically engineered smart comfort grid. This patented technology is designed to let air flow freely so you sleep cool. Side effects of sleeping on Purple include sleeping better, feeling better, and, well, honestly, smelling better. Try the Purple mattress risk-free for 100 nights and never sweat the bed again. Give yourself the gift of great sleep through the holidays on the world's only mattress with the Purple Grid, and get a free premium gift bundle to complete your Purple sleep set when you text RADIO to 84888. That's RADIO to 84888. Data rates may apply.
Broadcasting around the globe on your smart speaker and the radio.com app.
Steve Hartman did a piece on CBS Evening News tonight about the impact of a bus driver and how he changes lives. Susan Blanche is herself a bus driver right here working with me, and she drives bus just for fun in the early mornings. And Susan, you were just telling me, we were talking about retirement, and you said, I don't know about retirement. If I love doing it, I want to keep doing it. And you said you love driving bus, and I didn't know that you love driving bus, and I didn't know why, but you just told me. Tell the audience what you just told me.
Oh, because I just love the kids so much.
Yeah, well, why? Well, I always think of it as boy. That'd be like, advanced babysitting, you know?
Well, in some cases, it is, you know, but, you have a relationship with some of these kids, and for some of these kids, you might be the only adult in their life who's going to give them a smile. I mean, some of these kids who get on my bus in the morning, I know that they're going to get hell from their teacher because they're kind of troublemaker.
You can tell,
kids.
Huh? And I bet a bus driver can tell as much as anybody, right?
Oh, yeah. And it's like, the first child's name you learn is normally the one you're having issues with, right?
Yep.
But, some of these kids, and they'll even tell me, they'll say, God, man, you know, I'm always in trouble and blah, blah, blah. And to love these kids up, it's just, it's amazing. And what you get back from it is amazing.
What do you get back?
Some of these kids who you think, oh my gosh, this is going to be a trip and a half for the year.
Yeah.
Having to drive this child.
It's only September, yeah.
And you give this kid a little love and a little leeway, you know, and it's amazing what they give back. I had these three boys on my route one time, and you just saw it coming from the first day that they got on. They run to the back seat, and you're constantly giving reminders, you know, please sit down, please sit down. And one of the boys, you could just tell, was different from the other two.
Mm-hmm.
He was a leader, and okay. he was trying to do well. He
yep.
was trying to do good,
do
but
right.
he was influenced by these other two
sure.
who were a little more tough.
Yep.
And one day I pulled him aside and I said, you know, you are a leader and you are going to be the influencer on those two boys. And when they start going down a place that you know probably isn't that the right place to go, I want you to speak up and I want you to tell them, this isn't the right thing to do. And he did. And he keeps those boys in check. And when the boys start getting a little squirrely and stuff, bus drivers look in that mirror and
right.
they kind of get that
yep.
eye contact with the kids. And I'll look at that one boy who's my leader, and I'll look at him, and he calms things down back there. And I'm so impressed by him because you can tell the personalities of the kids like almost the third day of school.
Is that
and
right? That quick, huh?
And you know who the leaders are. You know who the troublemakers are. You know who the butt kissers are. You know you know who pretty much everybody is. The little quiet one, the still waters run deep person.
I don't know if I want to know what my kids are. I'll just say that. I wonder what that's a funny. It'd be funny. The impressions of a bus driver.
Yeah.
You know? I'd love to see if they saw my kids the same way that I see them, you know?
Well, it's what's interesting is
and
that.
And they're not, and believe me, they ain't perfect.
Well, whose kids are,
yeah.
right? But the first thing you do in the morning when they get on the bus is I greet them with a good morning.
And what are they usually in a festive mood?
Most children give you a good morning back. And then there's some kids who you worry about them, that they might be pretty troubled because they don't even have it in them to even look you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
They just get on the bus and they're looking down and they just go find their seat.
Oh, that kills me.
It does. It makes me sad. But, you know, we do a lot of things on the buses I drive. We do a lot of projects to kind of entertain the kids. And
you do sing-alongs?
I've done sing-alongs. We've made up safety raps.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and we do color contests and, you know.
Sounds like something Eric Nelson would enjoy.
Color contests?
Yeah, color contests.
I'll bring my color sheets in. I'll bring my color sheets in.
Right.
No, but, you know, we give out stickers on Friday and stuff like that. So we do a lot of things to just make those kids feel great. I school bus drove with a woman who was a former art. She was like art was her major. And she used to put up pieces of art, like posters of famous artwork, up on the roof of her bus, just so the kids were exposed to it.
Sure.
Just something to talk about.
That's how Big E got hooked on the Sistine Chapel.
Looking up.
Hey, good stuff, Susan. Keep up the good work. Let's take a break. Let's do some weather. Let's come back hard. Stay with us.
Sports to the max. Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers. And when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with a family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect the other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org. Thank you, military families, and thank you, WCCO.
Chad Hartman inviting News Talk 830 WCCO radio listeners to the Twins Fan the Stands Tour to Spring Training. It's March 8th through the 13th. Call Holiday Vacations 1-800-826-2266 or online holidayvacations.com, keyword WCCO radio.
Top 10 Liquors has a special New Year's gift just for you. They have the hottest price in the Twin Cities on your favorite holiday spirits, including beer, liquor, and wine. It's the end of the year, so go all out and save big on your favorite champagne and sparkling wine. Come get the best New Year's prices at one of Top 10 Liquor's 9 convenient locations across the metro. And remember, rewards program members save even more always. It's free and easy to join. Just ask an associate in stores. Top 10 Liquors. Your local spirit specialist.
So Andy Lindis can enjoy the holidays with his family, we'll be airing the best of The Home Improvement Show on Saturday at 10 a.m. Andy, Adam, and Alex Lindis and the entire Lindis family wish each of you a very happy holidays and a healthy, happy new year.
Here's the latest from the News Talk 830 WCCO Weather Center.
Kind of a tricky weather forecast. Tonight, increasing clouds, slight chance of sleet, low around 23. Tomorrow, freezing rain. Sleet and rain for much of the day. Some thunder also possible. So when you hear the thunder, don't get, you might want to warn your dogs that it's coming because, you know, they react to that. And especially this time of year, tomorrow night, rain and possibly a thunderstorm. I don't know what a thunderstorm would look like at the end of December. I want snow, man. If we're going to have moisture, let's do the snow thing so that the ski resorts, the snowmobile trails, the cross-countryers, everybody can benefit from it and we can have an industry. But I don't control this stuff. I just read it. Sunday, rain mainly before noon if you're tailgating before that big Viking Bears tilt now. Steady temperatures around 38 topping out. Currently in the Twin Cities, it is fair winds from the southeast at about 6 miles per hour and 24 degrees.
Hi, Jenny Long here for Maplewood Toyota. And can you believe it? That time of year again, Toyota-thon at Maplewood Toyota. It happens just once a year, and it's your opportunity to get a great deal on that 2019 Toyota you've been waiting for. Or maybe you're looking ahead to the 2020s. You'll find them all at Maplewood Toyota. In fact, according to Toyota Motor Sales USA 2018, Maplewood Toyota is the number one volume dealer throughout all of Minnesota. And that's not all. Take it from me, that service department, absolutely wonderful. When I talk to listeners from all four corners of CCO land about Maplewood Toyota, regardless of where they're from, it seems everyone's had an experience that went above and beyond what was expected. So whether buying or leasing, do as I did. Trust the folks at Maplewood Toyota. Visit them or their user-friendly website today. Don't miss Toyota-thon now at Maplewood Toyota, just south of 694 and Highway 61 in Maplewood. If your house needs new windows, have Lindis Construction install beautiful Season Guard replacement windows. Season Guard lets you explore a variety of window styles and colors, and right now, get free installation labor. For a free estimate, just visit lindisconstruction.com.
Hey, it's Corey Hepla. Weekdays at 9 on News Talk 830 WCCO.
I think they should say get hip with the hep. And it's taken on, I can see bumper stickers, I can see all kinds of things. Hey, it's Corey Hepla. I get it. That works. It's common folk speaking to common folk, and you just say, hey, it's Corey Hepla. Like when you call somebody, hey, it's Corey Hepla. But I think it should be get hip with hep. And, of course, nobody listens to me. I'm telling you, I'm a voice in the wilderness around here. I have given them more great ideas to implement, and it's always the same thing. Why don't you put that in writing and slide it under my door or email me when our email used to work.
email me a copy of that. And then it's funny because they must get really busy because they don't hear from them again. But get hip with HEP. I mean, there you go. Everything you need to know. And you put that on bumper stickers, and you maybe put it outside the station here. You put a banner out there. Get hip with HEP, 9 to noon, WCCO. Boom, you got it. You know, do you think anybody listens to me around here? I got no juice. None. I've tried. I got no juice. Although you can say with Sid Hartman, I remember one time Sid Hartman came in there. And Sid did not believe that on Sunday mornings that we needed to do the news twice an hour. He believed once an hour was plenty. So he'd come in every week, and he'd beat on, figuratively speaking, Bruce Hagovic about how nobody wanted to listen to his repeat news at twice an hour. And then he'd go to the bosses, and he'd say, that's slowing down my show. I don't want that stuff. And so one day I'm there, and he walks in, and he says, I don't want news twice an hour. That's stupid. People are they're hooked into me, and then blah, blah, blah. You take them away, and you got that repeat news on, blah, 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 blah. And he just gave it to them. And the next week, they still had the same format. And I said, Sid, it's not working. That you've complained about them doing news twice an hour. Now I've seen you three different times go in there. And he says, that's all right. That's just the first three times. I ain't quitting until I get it. He says, give me another year. And what he meant was he's going to pound on you, and he's going to make it look like this is life or death, understanding this is just the first round to him. If you don't change it, that's okay, because he's going to pound back at you with that great big hammer again, and he's going to pound, 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 pound. And eventually, you're going to relent and just go, it's a lot easier to do what Sid says than to fight him on this stuff. And that's the way he's lived his life. Now, he doesn't have as much oomph left in the tank now at almost age 100. But I do know this. He still gets feisty on Sunday mornings and still gets upset about things. And while his hearing is not great, I have found that he can read sign language. So I found a new way to argue with him so that he knows how I feel about what he just said. Yeah, because he can't hear well, you need to somehow communicate it in a different way. Now, I was talking about this before the break. If I was king for a day, this is what I'd do. I would make every school in the state of Minnesota, or in the country, whatever it is, and I'd say you can never have more than 100 people in a class. And I would build more smaller schools instead of big schools. And I would make it even across the board. So every school was somewhere between, say, 60 and 100 kids per class. So everybody got an opportunity to participate. And they got an opportunity to participate in a number of different things to find out what they're good at. That's what I would do if I was king for a day. Down in Dallas, not far from there, there's a suburb. And this county started to sprawl. And as I understand it, as it's been told to me, they went to a referendum or something like that, and they said, how many schools are we going to have in this county? And they voted.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.